Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video, it's Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, SP Angel. You're up, Vadim.
How are you doing, Justin?
Yeah, too bad. You know, it's funny. I don't know what the weather was like where you were at the start of the week. It was like winter. I actually put the heating on our house for an hour. It was free. And now the sun is out, you know, post sort of England getting through the final of Euros. And I don't know if you saw the FCA they changed the regulation for listings in the UK starting the end of this month to help more companies list. So, I do feel a bit bullish. I think Labour's making the right kind of sounds. Definitely. About the economy, growth, all that. And in fact, if you look at this, this is the FTSE 250. And it's now at a 12-month high, FTSE 250, which is, of course, domestically focused companies.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign, I think.
And it's spilling over a little bit into some of the small caps. Like, Labour has been positive for UK healthcare. Again, not all companies, you know, biotech is still struggling a little bit because, you know, it's still so finance dependent. So until the financing situation resolves itself, and becomes, you know, until the markets bounce back effectively, that sector is still struggling a bit. Although it is bouncing, some of the stocks that are even pure play biotech stocks have rallied. But it's companies that sell into the NHS that are seeing some traction with the new Labour government. Because I think Labour came in strong with a few statements. One is we've got to clear this backlog in the NHS with procedures, right? So they're saying, you know, let's do everything we can. Let's get, and I think there was a target of 40,000 procedures per, I don't remember what it was, per day, per week, whatever the metric was. But they set a high bar to achieve clearing the backlog. And that's good for certain companies. There's a company that I bought recently, a company called Surgical Innovations, which I think is reacting actually to this, to the Labour government. I bought it kind of a little bit on a play of this, and it's bounced. So look, who knows if it'll be sustained? You never know with stock prices, right? It's still quite illiquid, this company, but they sell surgical equipment into the NHS, and they sell it globally, but they also more than half their revenues is in the UK. If the NHS has a backlog of surgeries, and this is the area that they've just said, we have to increase, you know, our output to clear the backlog, well, that's positive for companies like this company.
Yeah, exactly. And, I do like the statement of intent. They come out straight away, Rachel Reeve, the economist, you know, and I believe, regardless of who you vote for, you know, Conservative Labour, I do think he has got the air about him of an efficient person, and Rachel Reeve, ex-Bank of England. Yeah. I don't believe that in the business of just talking up, you know, what they're going to do and not do it. I think they're quite organized people, and I fully intend it, you know, it relaxing the planning laws, for example. And you realize, you know, how much the building economy stimulates every other part of the economy. Because, you know, we just moved house now. And you're just buying lots of stuff. You just buy. And it stimulates. It's amazing how much you buy. And it covers so many different sectors, really. Yeah. So even that, and, you know, interest rates coming down as well, hopefully, in the next couple of months. Again, you know, mortgage providers were probably going into a bit of a mortgage war, and they'll forward sell sort of lower interest rates mortgages. So I think, you know, we're at the cusp. I'm quite bullish. Like I said, if you look at the AMOL share, it did have a little, you know, it's sold off recently and then it's bounced. And if you see this bounce, this initial rally up to this level here, 762, from what is it, 7.72, and then it rallied beyond that and bounced on that. And you can see you draw a line from that to there, the resistance to support, and even, you know, the bounces on a diagonal up line. And now it's starting to sort of rally again, which is nice. That's the seems to be the bottom of the initial sell-off recently, yeah. Correction.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice to get back up to that bull market. And I think we will in time, especially with the tailwinds, like you say, of the interest rates coming down and all that. But surgical innovations, okay, they're bouncing. So, and the last set of results is what, December?
So it's the worth, it's actually, a little bit. Yeah, so it's worth looking at the chart. Well, let's look at the results actually, okay? So basically the company has, you know, a lot of what we do, and you and I discuss this a lot about these companies, you know, how do you pick the bottom? You know, how do you pick them up when they're a little bit distressed? And that's when you get good value, you know? So the way I see this one is it does about 12 million in revenues. Revenues are still growing, you know, six above GDP, basically. The company is pretty robust in the sense that their products are needed, right? It's like an acyclical market, surgeries. If anything, we've just described how now we have a tailwind because there's a backlog of surgeries, right? So yeah. That backlog, a new government is intent on clearing it. So that means accelerated orders, you know? So that's all very good. So the macro environment helps. But even if it didn't, it's generally an acyclical sector. Surgeries need to get done. It's not like, you know, if the economy craps out, as we say, it doesn't impact. It's mostly inelastic, right? So that's a good thing. So it's a defensible, you know, it's a defensive sector as well at the same time. Where they had some problems, they had some supply chain issues recently. And this is what brings us to the chart. And the chart is quite important here. So if you bring up the chart, you'll see, look at that decline. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, so if we go way further back, 2021, that's just COVID. Okay. So the COVID boom, all healthcare stocks went crazy at that time. So you got to kind of discount those years. But look at more recently. So COVID came and went. Now we're talking 2023 onwards. Okay. Mm-hmm. In whatever that was, late 23, they had some supply chain issues and that just cratered their shares because the market is just, it's a down market. We're in a negative market environment. The minute there's some remote amount, you know, minute amount of bad news from a company, a small amount of bad news, shares, you know, are oversold.
Get hammered. Yeah, get hammered.
Disproportionately, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So, you know, now look at this company. So it hit market cap, I think, at its lows of 3 million. You know, it's doing 12 million in sales. Sales are growing. And if anything, we all know the hardest thing with all these businesses is actually finding the sales, not supplying the sales. What their issue was, they had an issue supplying So the revenues are there, the demand is there. They had bottlenecks in their supply chain, which they're working on rectifying. They claim that they have solved a lot of these problems. I think there still may be some issues. You know what I mean? They're still working on the result. But at one point, you look at the price and you say, "Is the price make sense?" And so you're trading on one quarter of revenues. It didn't make sense. You know. So that to me, and I still think it's a buying opportunity. I picked some up. You know, I like it. I think. You know, where what we don't know is, you know, how quickly are they going to resolve all of these issues? They have some covenants that have been waived. They have some debt. It's not a huge amount. My point is, you know, the risk is all in the price. So, you know, if you could still see some negative news flow around these supply chain issues, but at some point on 12 million revenues with the tailwind in the market, in the healthcare market because of labor, you know, you're going to see at some point that share price rectify. I don't see them it being as distressed as the market perceives them to be. That's kind of the play here.
Yeah, do you know, I'm starting to think with a little bit more bullishness coming into the market, it's now, like you said before, unless you're exceeding expectations, okay, your share price may have gone up. But if you didn't, and definitely if you put a profit warning out, you'd be hammered. Your share price would expect to drop by, you know, 50% in the next few sessions. And for nano caps and micro caps, that's what it was like.
Yeah.
Now, actually, what you're seeing, the company's coming out saying it's less worse. And that's almost, you know, helps the so I think the market dynamic is changing. It's becoming less bearish.
Correct.
We're seeing now there's a bit of recovery here. And I've seen a couple of companies who say, oh, in fact, have come out and said, we did a profit warning, but now we don't think it's going to be as bad as it is. And I've seen them rally, and that's a good sign to me. That means the worst is over. It's going to get less worse. Okay, they're not going to grow or improve massively, but the fact is, because it's been oversold pretty much, people now say, oh, in fact, that was undervalued.
Well, that's it, exactly. That's the play here. You know, if you just go back a year, let's go back 1 year on the chart. I mean, look at that. This thing was worth 180. It was worth £2. Yeah. Okay, £2 not long ago.
1.88.
Not two quid, but two pence. Okay, yeah, terms of share price, it was 2 pence, and it went all the way down to 0.37 pence. Now it's bounced a bit, but I mean, it still has a long way to go to just recover where it was. It was never like promising the moon back then. It's just that I genuinely believe it was oversold on. It's an issue, supply chain issues. I'm not denying that. I would not say, but I do. I find there's a few companies like this that have been decimated by the downturn on some negative news flow. And it's like you say, if it's not as bad as it originally, even if it was as bad as it really, it was just oversold.
Well, I think a lot of times you get this like almost worst case scenario being priced in.
Yeah.
And then generally worst case scenario doesn't happen. You know, it's like, okay, it's not super bullish, the news, but it's not as bad as everyone's thinking because you're pricing in worst case scenario, like going bust almost. And they're nowhere near going bust. So you realize, hang on, it needs an uprate then, a re-rate upwards. I'll tell you a bit of news actually in your sector there. I don't know if you saw that, but I know we've covered it before, is Cambridge Cognition. Now, I thought, okay, on the surface of this, I thought, okay, sorry, it's an Innovate UK grant they've got. And I thought, oh, that's not too bad. But it's another company that's been hammered. And you realize this is about dementia, and they're going to be using their broker reckons they're going to get £1 million from this and to test out, in fact, explain what they do. It's cognitive sort of data, isn't it?
So basically, Cambridge Cognition are just, they're truly a victim of the downturn in biotech. So they are a service provider to companies that are investigating their own drugs, because to pharma companies, in the area of dementia. Okay. And it's all the rage right now because there's been a couple of drugs there are a couple of drugs that were recently approved in the US for dementia, first drugs ever. And there's a huge tail of drugs coming in the future, a pipeline, and they're involved in helping that pipeline of drugs test those drugs in clinical trials. Okay.
Yeah.
And their services and products, basically it's services, is that they have biomarkers, digital biomarkers. They have basically what we used to do on paper to assess cognitive health. You remember, I'll give you an example. You remember, I'm sure you've done these when at some point, a physician or shows you pictures and checks whether you remember, whether you pick out differences between the pictures. These are all tests of cognitive health. Okay. That's an example. Okay. But there's many, many different tests that you can do. They help with these trials in doing digital tests for they digitize the whole process. That's one element. There's another element, which is voice recognition. So they have voice biomarkers in determining whether you have early onset dementia. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically it's all about testing your cognitive capabilities in various forms. And that's exactly, that's what they've been doing in terms of the service provision to pharma companies. Okay. So if the pharma sector is taking a big hit, which it has in the, for the last 3 years, there's just less financing for these trials. So as a result, their revenues, their source of revenue, there's less financing to the companies to whom who contract out that part of the trial to Cambridge Cognition. So their revenues were, for many years during the biotech boom, growing at double digit, 20% plus, and then they've slowed drastically in this downturn. However, they haven't really gone backwards too much, right? Yeah. So they hit about 13 to 15 million revenues.
Last set of results is to the end of last year.
Yeah. But
revenue is up, 13.5, and that's their market cap. And so I was looking at this again. Okay, let's have a loss they're making. And I got this bit there, and they made a loss, but they did say profitability achieved in the second half. And then I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. Because I know they've been hammered. And these are kind of the places that can produce some opportunities.
Yeah.
And then I looked at other news. And they just raised money. They raised like $2.6 million with the result of the place. So I thought, oh, yeah, let's look at the broken note. So I look at the broken note. And the broken note is, you know, suggesting they'll be profitable this year because they're profitable the second half of the year.
Yeah.
And then you got this grant on top. And hang on, let's look at the chart here. And it literally, it was... they are at or just below the placing price, which is 40 pence.
Yeah, and, exactly. You know, and the placing price wasn't, the placing wasn't done at a really steep discount or anything.
10%, like. Yeah, 10% discount, yeah.
You know, it wasn't a crazy discount, which is testament to the fact that, you know, the company isn't that distressed. Now they have the cash. They had a bit of debt. Now they have cash against that. They already have
profitable.
Some cash.
Yeah, and profitable as well. So it's like they're not going to get through that cash as long as everything. But they do say in that result, they said they're going to be, what do they say? I mean, even here, they say they're going to be profitable. They expect to hit, because they said they've got a lot of forward contracted contracted order book of 17.2 million, 69% of our revenue for 2023 from top 10. Post-period, strengthened sales marketing team. And they do say... the company's pipeline of opportunities remains healthy. So the first quarter seen an increase in contract wins compared to the period last year. Major contract delays. Second half of this year, they're saying. You always be careful with that. Saying it'll come in the second half of this year. But depending on the time of these contracts, the company expects full year results to be 13 to 15 million.
And that's
the
broker got. Exactly. So that's a bit of a swing. They could even go into a small revenue contraction. I think they'll exceed. I don't think they're going to... I don't think they're going to do 13. I think they'll do more than 13 and a half, which is their current previous year revenue. So I do think they're on the path to back to growth. And I've been a holder of this stock for a long time. I've sold a little bit higher up and I've held on, you know, so I've watched the share price go down, painful as it was. I'm still a big believer because I do think there aren't that many companies on AIM that are revenue generating, that are washing their face or, you know, just about break even or about to become profitable. Cambridge Cognition is one. When the market rebounds, which it is rebounding, this is one that's, I think, seen the worst of it, put it that way. They've seen the worst of their decline. And the share price, as you say, has been affected by this downturn. So it could be another one that's overshot drastically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was, some syntax or formatting errors on this. I thought it was something to do with almost like a Scandinavian company, Alzheimer's disease, but they are just basically apostrophes. But they're saying here, this is Matthew Stork. They all took part in the placing, by the way, directors. But I think if you look at that, £1 sales, and the brokers have got a £1.50 target on this. It's now 40 pence a share.
Yeah. Right?
And they're going profitable. And they're seeing, I mean, in the outer years, I've looked in the broker forecast, of operating margins around about 20%. Mm-hmm. I thought, that's amazing. Really good margins, you know, going out.
Yeah.
And so, and he said, here, this is going to be groundbreaking because it's the first time they've done this kind of trial, apparently, for dimensions on this scale, not using pen and paper, like you say. They're saying this could be groundbreaking study for Cambridge Cognition and indeed the clinical field, as it could enable the company to be the first to provide an all-in-one voice and touchscreen assessment. It's amazing when you read into it. I just thought, okay, Innovate grant, you know, lots of companies received that. But then realize it's in dementia, and this is the first, this, and their tech has been picked for this big trial.
Yeah.
You realize they've got something, you know, and the fact they're going to be profitable and they've been hammered, they're just in a fundraising as well. It's like that sets yourself up for a potential, you know, good recovery play, you know?
Yeah. Just there's a bit of history that's a more recent history in the last 3 years that is important here is that they were cash generative. They were, you know, their cash pile was quite big for a company of its size at the time. They used some of that cash to make a couple of acquisitions.
Yeah.
One of them is the voice element to this. And it's an AI company. I think they bought a Canadian company with a lot of...
Winterlab. Is it Winterlab?
Yeah, that's the one. Exactly.
Yeah, Winterlight.
Winterlight. And now they're finally integrating all of these services. They've done that. And that's been achieved about a year ago. They had the kind of... a classic example of a small company acquiring companies, and maybe they bit off a bit more than they can chew in the first instance, right? So they used their cash pile. It was unanticipated. I think that, you know, obviously the biotech downturn hit at the same time. So revenues slowed. They had to integrate these new acquisitions and the cash balance was quite thin because they've deployed it to buy these companies. So all of that became kind of a perfect storm against this business, but not enough to take out the business. The business is still generating revenues. And as you rightly said, they're still growing, right? So therein lies the opportunity. The shares were smashed as a result. But now it's fully integrated. The products are clearly, you know, winning grants and still winning business. The order book is really very strong. And they've cut costs out of the business. So they've integrated not only just, you know, the offering, but they've integrated the costs. So they're still, they've taken all the costs out. That's why they're you know, scheduled to become profitable.
Yeah, so they did say that. I like that. When you get when you get a downturn, and in companies, and you know, it's not going to be easy to raise money anymore. You do tend to have these cost efficiency programs going on, which makes them a healthy company, makes them a more efficient company. And then when they come out of the downturn, they're even more efficient than they were beforehand, and yet the share price is a lot lower. You're thinking, hang on, this is a better company than it was 2 years ago, and the share price is like four times, you know, divided by four, basically. So it's you know, a percentage of what it was. But you say cash balance there, 3.2. They had a bit of debt. There was about $700,000 of net cash at the year end.
I think their cash was one for one on the debt, borderline, approximately. But then they raised another three, right?
So if I scroll down, $678 net cash there. But they got that $1 million from UK Innovate. They got that $2.6 from the fundraise, and they're profitable. Well, they're going to be profitable this year. It's like, I just think now because it's gone down so much, people lose faith in the stock, don't they? And they think, it's never coming back up. And so you may get bumping on the bottom for a while. But I think, but it'd be nice to see an update confirming. But if you look at the Brokenote, really saying it's a really groundbreaking trial. It's like, you know, it's huge.
I'm holding on. What I'd like to see is contracts being announced. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what they were doing. You know, don't get me wrong, they are generating revenues the whole time. But when they announce a contract, it's because it's a material in size over and above their order book. So the downside protection is there of the order book. It's right there. They just said 17 million in orders, you know. So their order book covers a percentage of the revenues of their forecast. And I'm confident they'll achieve that. Okay. It's just where this story will really turn around and get motoring in the other direction is when they start to win these outsized orders, these big contracts that they have proven the ability, they have the proven ability to do. If you look back a couple of years, you know, they were landing 1, 2, 3 million, you know, and I think the company has the potential to start that again and bigger contracts this time around, this cycle. On the why? Yeah. Because they're fully integrated, you know, because everything we just discussed, they are now a fully integrated larger business that has acquired new assets that are perfectly streamlined with their asset portfolio. So they'll be able to win bigger contracts in a properly functioning biotech environment where the companies they're winning these contracts from are themselves properly financed. And that's starting. That the US biotech market is starting to wake up again. Here we're starting to see early signs of that. There's been a few IPOs out there, which is good. It's coming back. It's just a question of time. And you're right. It's companies like this that have survived the downturn that in an upturn, those are the announcements we hope to see, you know, $2, $3, $5 million contracts or sterling contracts.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at that with interest because, like I say, you know, it's one of the stocks. Even if you look back, look at that. I mean, that was COVID, but it had a heck of a rise. And sometimes, you know, that's the sort of forward potential there. But you could say now, with the acquisitions they've done and the cost saves and probably they're a better company. And the valuations are definitely better. You know, there we are. And you also want to mention, Spectral MD? Was it?
Yeah, Spectral MD. I mean, maybe we can discuss that one next week just because I unfortunately have to. Look, we'll cover that one next week. Hopefully we're seeing a turn now. We'll discuss some of the announcements.
It's a nice tease for next week. So people who are interested in that, we'll cover that next week. But Spectral AI is called, isn't it now?
Yeah,
but is it starting to? Oh yeah, it's off the bottom. It's starting to run a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Marvelous stuff. I didn't realize the time had gone so quickly. It's amazing. See, we need to enjoy talking about investing. Time just flies. But Vadim, thanks for that, and we'll speak to you next week.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.